He left me alone soon afterward, and I went through every cabinet and drawer, drinking in the scent of the wood, listening to the phantom creaking of the wind in the rafters overhead. It took me 15 minutes to move my possessions in. Most of what I owned had been destroyed by the same bomb that flattened the old place. My all-purpose dress had survived, along with a favorite vest and the air fern Henry'd given me for Christmas. Everything else had been pulverized by black powder, blasting caps, and shrapnel. With the insurance money, I'd bought a few odds and ends, jeans and jumpsuits, and then I'd tucked the rest in a money market account where it was merrily collecting interest. At 8:45, I locked up, looked in on Henry briefly, and fumbled my way through yet another thank you, which he waved away. Then I headed to the office, a quick 10-minute drive into town. I wanted to stay home, circling my house like a sea captain preparing to embark on some fabulous voyage, but I knew for a fact I had bills to pay and telephone calls to return. I dispensed with several minor items, typing up a couple of invoices for 2 standing accounts. The last name on the list of phone calls was a Mrs. Clyde Gersh, who had left a message on my machine late the day before, with a request to get in touch at my convenience. I dialed her number, reaching for a yellow pad. The phone rang twice, and then a woman picked up on the other end. "Mrs. Gersh?" "Yes," she said. Her tone held a note of caution, as if I might be soliciting contributions for some fraudulent charity. "Kinsey Milhone returning your call." There was a split second of silence, and then she seemed to recollect who I was. "Oh, yes, Miss Milhone. I appreciate your being so prompt. I have a matter I'd like to discuss with you, but I don't drive, and I'd prefer not to leave the house. Is there any chance you might meet with me here sometime today?" "Sure," I said. She gave me the address, and since I didn't have anything else on the books, I said I'd be there within the hour. There didn't seem to be any particular urgency to the matter, whatever it was. But business is business. The address she'd given me was in the heart of town, not far from my office, one of the older blocks of single-family residences on a quiet, tree-lined street. A tangle of shrubs formed a nearly impenetrable wall that separated the property from street view. I parked out front and let myself in through a creaking gate. The house was a shambling affair, 2 stories of dark green shingle set sideways on a lot dense with sycamores. I climbed pale gray wooden porch steps, still fragrant with a recent repainting. The screen was open, and I moved to the front door and pushed the bell, surveying the facade. The house was probably built in the 20s, not elegant by any means, but constructed on a large scale, comfortable, unpretentious, once meant for the middle class, out of reach for the average buyer in the current real estate market. A house like this would probably sell for over $500,000 these days, and then require remodeling to bring it up to snuff. An obese black woman in a canary-yellow uniform with white collar and cuffs let me in. "Mrs. Gersh is out on the upstairs porch," she said, indicating a staircase directly ahead. She lumbered off, apparently trusting me not to lift any cut-glass knick-knacks from the occasional table to the right of the entranceway. I had a momentary glimpse of the living room. A wide painted brick fireplace, flanked by built-in bookcases with leaded glass doors. Lots of cotton shag carpeting in a much trampled off-white. Creamy painted wainscoting ran halfway up the wall with a pale print wallpaper above, extending across the ceiling in an inverted meadow of wildflowers. The room was shadowy and cried out for table lamps. The whole house was muffled in silence, and smelled of cauliflower and curry. I went up. When I reached the first landing, I saw that a second set of stairs branched down into the kitchen, where I could see a kettle bubbling on the stove. The maid who'd admitted me was now standing at the counter, chopping cilantro. Sensing my gaze, she turned and gave me an idle look. I moved on up.